Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 356, and I got one hell of a show for you this week. It's a show that is like 2 months in the making. It took multiple emails, Google appointment reminders, and also I set an alarm on my iPhone to make sure it all worked out. And I got two fantastic people for this episode, so you get twice what you normally expect on the FitCast. And first off, I don't even know where she is right now, but that's the wonderful Jen Sinkler. Jen, what's up?
You know what? Hi, thanks for having me again. I too was very excited to book this podcast. My travel schedule has been a little tricky lately.
I'm home
in Minneapolis as of yesterday, and I'm home for, I would say it's more than a week, which is kind of amazing right now to me. I planned my schedule based on what was possible, not what was would feel good or what was desirable. Mm-hmm. So I've had about 24-hour stints coaching at the gym, and then I'm off again. So lately, it was this whole reason I was like, oh, we're going to live like without a home. We're going to sell our house, and we're going to not have a home base. Like we'll have like a little apartment in Minneapolis and be all over the place. It hasn't actually worked like that because we haven't managed to sell our house. So instead it just ends up being a train wreck. Anyway, that's what's going on with me. How are you?
Oh, that sounds like a blast. I'm doing great because about an hour and a half away, Jill Coleman is hanging out in Kennebunkport, Maine.
Mm-hmm. I am. Thanks for having me on. I wasn't sure I could get Wi-Fi because I just haven't been to Maine since, I don't know, like the 1980s. So, but there is, and I'm here, and hopefully it may remain. So thanks for having me, Kevin.
Yeah, luckily in the last 30 years, they got broadband up to Maine. And everything else, though, especially if you go to like Kennebunkport, like pretty much the whole town hasn't changed in 20 or 25 years.
I got to go there.
Well,
for
Jen
the first
was just
time.
There.
Yeah. It was very scenic. And the first thing that David, my husband, said when we got there was, Maine smells just like Maine. Like, Maine smells like Maine should smell. Like, you're in an enchanted forest everywhere you go. You don't think?
New England. It's very New England.
Yeah.
It feels very quaint.
I think we're getting that Kennebunkport Maine smell is kind of across the board now. It's tough when you go into Boston, but like where I am, about 30 minutes north of Boston, it smells good outside. It smells fresh
and piney, like Christmas everywhere, or like, yeah.
So, Jill, are you enjoying your time up in Kennebunkport? You just like going out every night and partying, or?
Well, I probably will, except I just, so that's definitely on the to-do list. No, I'm excited. We're actually going to be going to just like awesome seafood and walking around and just the beach. It's going to be really fun. So I'm originally from New England too. What?
I was going to say the only problem with you being in Maine is that you will not eat a lobster roll because you don't like mayonnaise, which is a real problem.
That is correct. It's not a problem, but it is correct.
She's on the winning side of that battle. We're on the anti-mayonnaise platform for 2016.
Well, what if you guys haven't just made homemade mayonnaise yet? And you could really fix this problem.
It's gross. It's gross, no. Jen.
What are the chances of me making homemade mayonnaise? Probably very
well. With you, it's slim to none. A big ass salad.
Yeah. Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, we could talk about Maine and the beautiful things up there and the weather and what it's like to be traveling all over the place. But maybe we will actually hit on that. So, Jen, where have you been? What have you been doing? You've been doing a lot of speaking engagements?
I have. And actually, my last speaking engagement was with Jill and for Jill. She's got this really great business coaching group called Best of You, BOY for short. And they talk about basically fitness professionals building businesses from the ground up. And so I spoke about social media for her group in Asheville, North Carolina last week. And that was super fun. And then this latest thing that I went to was in Kansas. And I can't say that I go to Kansas very often, but it too was like a, really an enchanted place. I went to Lawrence, which is this little liberal haven in the middle of Kansas.
Wow.
And stayed there for a couple days and went to this, it's called the Gaia Goddess Gathering. Okay. Out in the middle of the woods of Kansas. I know, I've been kind of pursuing more personal development things lately, and I've really been enjoying myself and finding out what else is out there. And there are certainly a lot of fun points of view.
Well, Jill, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that summit that you set up.
Yeah, no, I would love to. Thanks so much. Yeah, it was really fun. I'm so glad that we're having this talk a couple weeks after, not even 2 weeks after. I had Jen come to Asheville, North Carolina. Been there before. I know Jen loves it. I do too. It's very kind of similar to what Jen was talking about. It's very like kind of liberal, funky, amazing food and restaurants. And so selfishly, I kind of like bringing all my girls in my group there, even though it's not the most convenient place to get to. It's not the least expensive place, but everybody when they come there. So we basically got together for two solid days of online business coaching. So everything from social media, branding, marketing, product development, all the girls in the group. There's 85 girls there, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And most of them are personal trainers in the, you know, time for grind at the gyms, group fitness instructors, health coaches, things like that. Either fit, maybe some of our physios really want to bring their business online, learn how to build an online platform, how to start a blog, how to build their social media, how to network in the industry. And I think all of us can attest to the fact that the fitness space, at least in our space, is fairly small online. Like it's pretty small. You know, so there's kind of a lot of room and there's a lot of opportunity for girls to say, to come in, for women to come in, say something new, you know, and help a lot more people than they could at their local, you know, 24-hour fitness or whatever. So anyway, yeah, they've been working with me the last 9 months and it's been, this is my fourth year doing the program and I'm getting ready to launch the Gen 6, 16 mentorship in November. So that's coming up.
Man, you guys work so hard and that's something that, no, I'm for real. Like you guys are, whether it be both you guys traveling all over the place, like literally being so busy that, it, you know, we scheduled this so far out to make sure that we could get that in with both you guys together. And that's kind of where I want to start. For everyone that's listening to the show, waiting for, you know, the exercise stuff, the personal development stuff, we're totally going to get to that. But I think it's, it makes sense to hit on this business stuff at the start because we have a lot of people that listen to the podcast that are personal trainers, they are strength coaches. And I think mm-hmm. this is something that is still really not made incredibly important when people want to develop their brand and be able to yep. make enough money in this industry because you could have your 25, 30 personal training sessions per week and still not be able to make enough money to be secure in life. And Jill, I apologize. I totally stole something that you posted on Twitter yesterday because I talked about this with our staff at MBSC today. And I maybe the best way to launch this off is like with that quote that you had yesterday, Jill. When people want to get into the content creation, you know, setup, like how should they go about it? Because now there are mm-hmm. so many people doing this stuff today that mm-hmm. how do they just do it without getting mm-hmm. lost in the shuffle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so glad you asked that because we talked a lot about that last weekend and I continue to talk about this with my girls because like you said, there's so much noise in the online space and so many people are saying the same thing. It's like a me too business. I think it's you get into trouble when you try to build your platform on information alone because only a few people who do it really, really well are going to have the best information, right? Maybe like the John Berardis, Precision Nutrition, you know, Metabolic Effect, these like, you know, companies that are doing, I'm sure you guys have some examples that you follow who do really well at information. They have like the best science, they have the best frameworks, but everybody else, you know, is kind of riding the coattails of some of these leaders and some of these people out in front with the science and everything else. So you have to differentiate yourself in other ways. So number one is expertise, of course, right? Certifications, credentials, thing that you're an expert in. And I think that's great. People have that, but that can't be it. That's one of the three I would consider biggest things. Number one is your expertise. Number two is your pathway you're excited about, right? So you go to Jen and you look at her social media feed and you see what she blogs about, and she has a lot of interest. You see powerlifting, you see women in fitness, like you see these themes that pop out. So she has a very directed focus, and you can tell what she loves is her passion. She's doing it, whether she's posting it or not, she's doing it. And the third thing is you have to be able to solve a problem for somebody. You have to have a solution, right? You can have something that you're excited about. You can have something you're an expert in, but if you don't have an actual solution for a struggle that a client is having, you don't have a business. And that's what we were talking about yesterday, that quote that I said on Twitter, which was figure out a new way to say something and then teach that, right? So information is being recycled. So how do we take the information that's out there, like the science, the facts, things like that, and create strategies and frameworks that help people implement, right? Because facts don't change. Science, barely, you know, all that much wiggle room. But what we can do is we can help our clients implement by coming up with frameworks, not just spouting like random facts and random stuff that no one can really, like, people don't really, they don't track that. Instead, create something new or say something old in a new way. And you have to have some edginess to you, Kevin. Like Jen and I talk about this a lot. You have to be, you have to draw a line in the sand. You have to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, oh, you know, maybe this is okay. And if you do this, this is okay. And if you do this, this is okay too. Cause like people just approach you in a very lukewarm way. You want people to either absolutely love you, like they just love Jen, they trust Jen so strongly, or they're just like, you know what, Jen's not for me. And they leave. That's literally what you want. You want very, you want like that polarizing effect. You want someone who really loves you or someone just like, that's not for me. You don't want those middle people who are like, ah, oh, she's okay. Yeah, she's good. She's fine. You know what I mean? You don't want that warm because you don't ever really resonate with anybody. So you have to have some edge to you. And I think people are scared, especially when they're getting to take a stance. Because what about haters and trolls? And what if you called out and all of that stuff too? So it's a process. I think it takes some time to find your voice and your message, but that's why it's important to just get started.
Jen, do you have anything to add to that, or even just hitting on, you know, what people can be doing if they want to build like a really great, successful, you know, social media following?
First things first, Jill's the best at frameworks. Like if I'm looking for a system, like, okay, how, like advice on exactly how do I go from point A to point B? That's where you go to Jill. Mm-hmm. We talked about this and how difficult it was honestly for me to put together this presentation on social media and to sort of like how to social media. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, you feel it out.
You're
right?
Just like, I do it.
Yeah. The my number one rule is never post anything that I don't think is awesome. And that means like that takes priority over even like who you owe favors to or like your friendships. And like if Jill writes a post that, you know, it has a really great message, but you know, maybe it's not laid out as well as it could be. And this, honestly, this wouldn't be Jill because that's not her weakness at all. But I'm not going to share that with my people because you have to build trust. Like you have to become like the trusted source. Like, you know what? I'm not going to bullshit you. And that means like anything I post is aligned with my beliefs. And like Jill said, that may not be what everyone believes and I'm okay with that. I'm having, you know, like the whole haters experience thing. Like I don't experience much of, but I have in, you know, really recent history, like had one of my first experiences with that. And it was hard, and it's hard not to play scared afterwards. But the thing is, like, I can stand behind any copy that I post and say, like, I think this is awesome. And if you never compromise your values, and this is what happens with new bloggers, like, you'll start posting, and your feed starts looking like an advertisement. Mm-hmm. It looks you know, sponsored because companies know that they can, you know, approach bloggers and be like, hey, I'm going to give you $150 a month if you post, you know, four times on Facebook, you know, four times on Instagram, four times on Twitter. And like, as a new blogger, you're like, that's exciting, right? Like that may be like, I can earn money from my blog. The problem is you get a couple of those and that's all your feed becomes. Mm-hmm. And then like people start questioning why it is that you're posting certain things. That's not to say that you can't make social media part of a way to make a living, but it has to be the right match for you. Every single thing. Like I never compromise on quality. I never post. And this is a lesson I learned like on Instagram, for example, like I'd be like, oh shoot, I haven't posted today. I just got to get something up. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you don't. It's so much better to have quality content right. And to not lose focus of who you're talking to. That's the other thing. Like, and I think that this happens in the fitness industry as well. Like we get worried about what other trainers think and we start then accidentally talking to other trainers. And that niche is very small. So like you, what I do is I pick one person. Her name is Julie. She doesn't even know. She's one of my clients at the gym. She doesn't know that's who I write for. That's who I talk to on video. Like, she's the person that I'm trying to reach because she's the who I want. She's at the place in her fitness journey, and everything works about Julie for me. Like, that's my audience. Mm-hmm. So I think not getting distracted with who you're trying to help, and you keep in mind your core audience at all times. That's the rule of writing, whether it's, you know, blog posts or magazine articles or social media posts, is never lose track of your audience. And I think that the brand then that you're trying to build grows automatically from that, because you start getting the word out. Of course, like there are specific ways that you can do social media better, such as, you know, posting in the morning, posting at night, and not maybe posting at the dead spots in the day. But the quantity or the quality trumps that every single time.
So, I mean, this is something that I wish a lot of other people in the industry would do more of, is not like the only email that I ever get from them is when a new product comes out and they're saying, and it's not, you know, sometimes it's not even theirs. It's someone else's product that they're copy and pasting the copy that they got in the email beforehand, saying, hey, this is the email that you should send out. So maybe that's something that people...
No personal experiences.
Right. And, you know, just to speak for myself, like, you know, if you are a subscriber to like the FitCast newsletter, I almost never use it. I might use it like 10 times a year. And it would be to talk about like, you know, an episode that's coming up, or... You know, if it's something like that I've gone read through and it's from someone I trust, like Lift Weights Faster 2, then I will send out an email saying like, hey, look it, I did an interview with Jen. And by the way, like, if you really like what you heard, you can get a lot more of it for like, you know, a discounted rate because it's the first week that it's out or something like that. And I think it's worth your money. Yeah. And I think maybe that's great for people to check out some more of your guys' stuff to see what people should be doing as fitness professionals as they want to get into this water of the
social media. Here's one thing I always talk about.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point, Kevin, and I just want to piggyback on that, because I think what happens is people who are interested in building their business, they have to at some point go from a consumer mindset to a business mindset. And what I mean by that, there's subscribe to Jen's email newsletters, or to subscribe to my newsletters or to other people's newsletters, they have to start looking at the newsletters from the business perspective and go, oh, wonder what Jen's doing here. Is she like, is there something that's coming up? Maybe she's getting ready to launch a program. You have to start looking at the people that you follow from a business perspective, not like, oh, I can't wait to get Jen's workouts. She always has workouts. Work and that you can still do, but you have to at some point stop being a learner and start being a creator. And I think that's a mindset shift. Instead, you can actually, and I talked about this, the retreat a lot, people who are getting in the industry have to start saying new stuff. You can't just continue to regurgitate what Jen says or what you say or what someone else says. You have to now instead going, oh, I can create my own frameworks. I can create my own systems. I can create my own rules. I can create my own ideas. And that's a mindset shift, because we're so used to learning. Where we go to conference, we listen to the FitCast, we read fitness books. You have to thinking like a business person, and it takes some time.
Jill, what about, and this is a question that I got today from someone that works at NBSC, is like, what do I do if I just want to make sure I don't just like, I'm not just like rewriting Mike Boyle stuff, like stuff that I learned from Mike. Mm-hmm. What advice do you give to people who feel like they were just going to be rewriting like your stuff or Jen's stuff or Mike's stuff or whatever?
Yeah. And you know, Jen's actually probably a better person to answer this question, because she's, you know, she's been an editor for such a long time, and that's her field. And, you know, I know she deals with a lot of kind of plagiarism. But in terms of from the creative standpoint, I'll weigh in really quick. What I would say is, you know, Mike's stuff is great. Obviously, if you're going to talk about, you need to quote him or source him or whatever, but you need to think about, this is the way I do it. I have two ways that I create new content. Number one, I go to people who I really like their stuff. Like, I'll go to Metabolic Effect, or I'll go to Precision Nutrition, I'll go to Gen Space, and I'll read up written. And then I always question it. I always say, oh, is that true? Is that always true? And then I'll say, like, is there ever a time when it's not true? So for example, here's an example. If I go and read someone who I trust and they're like, here's the reasons why you have to eat breakfast every day,
or
right?
Like, why you should have mayonnaise or something.
People who don't eat Yeah, like people, you know, if we've heard this, oh, you need to have breakfast or else you're going to be obese, right? You, all three of us know that some people do intermittent fasting and they're not really fine. So that's an example of an exception to the rule mm-hmm. that someone could write on. So I always go and I look for gaps in those holes and I go, ah, I think there's something that could benefit us. And then the other way I come up with new ideas is I go to people stuff who I don't like. And I read stuff that people who I'm just like, you know what, person, I'll give you an example. So Jill Fit, one of the tenets of Jill Fit is the moderation 365, moderate approach to nutrition. So what's the Whole 30, right? You guys know the Whole 30. It's like the 30 days of no, you know, no gluten, no dairy, you know, alcohol, whatever. It's not like that very super, super clean. They wrote an article on why moderation was crap. And someone posted it on my page. I was like, Jill, what do you think about these? Obviously, they have a huge following and they're very successful. And I'm sure the program is great for many people. But the idea that moderation is a bad approach got me fired up. I wrote like my own, you know, kind of thing about it. I wasn't like, oh, and this is, it wasn't even about like, oh, it's because this article. It just got me thinking, I want to write, you know, the definitive guide to moderation result of that. So going and finding people who you don't agree with is a great way to get ideas. So that's how I would do it. But Jen, I'm sure you can speak more to that too, about how to kind of protect yourself and how to get creative.
Well, what pisses you off is actually a really good place to start for what you're for identifying your own opinions, because that tends to happen with a lot of, you know, with coaches who are just entering the online space. They want to start a blog, but they're honestly they're not sure how to express their opinions yet, and that's how plagiarism happens a lot of times. Yeah. And this question came up at Jill's boy retreat 2 weekends ago. One of her women, a total powerhouse, like has a lot of opinions, isn't super sure of herself, I guess, in the online space just yet. And she says like, okay, so, you know, what you say about being unapologetically strong really resonates with me. How do I talk about that? And without sounding like you, or like, I'm just completely regurgitating you. She's like, I want to credit you, but I want to talk about this. I'm like, okay, so great. Where you start. And where, honestly, like this holds up throughout, you always cite your sources. Like mm-hmm. that is a way that hands down will help you build your business, make more friends, because people are willing to share your stuff if you're not ripping them off. And in fact, if you're crediting them with where the idea came from. And then you can build on that. You can say, okay, you know, here's the idea. Here's who said it. And here's what I think about that. And I'm echoing what Jill said a little bit. You identify the parts that you agree with, you identify the parts you don't agree with, and you expound on that. And then all of a sudden, there's your point of view.
Okay, I'm gonna go in a different path here, because I know some people are tuning in for the, you know, fitness stuff, and we definitely got some stuff in for the professionals out there. But I think if you are listening to what you guys were just saying real closely, for everyone that is just like really into reading and following other like fitness professionals, that's a really good outline of how to spot bull BS, like how to spot crap and how to make sure that you're
bull hunky.
Is that the Minnesota term? Mm-hmm.
No, it's more, it's a little more redneck than that, but I like it. Bull honky. Okay. Sorry.
There we go. We got a title for the show. Okay. So this is how we're going to jump real deep into this. So, and this is selfish. This is a little lazy on my part, but Jen, I got to train after the show, and this is my off day of lifting, and I do not want to do cardio. I have a kettlebell. I have like Val slides. I got a TRX. I got a chin up bar. What am I doing?
Oh my gosh. You're doing so many things. So this is your off day from lifting?
Yeah. You know, I do 3 full body lifts a week. Like, you know, probably a lot of the people listening right now. So, what am I going to do today for training?
So you're going to put together a full body workout really quick circuit. It's going to involve a lower body push, lower body pull, upper body push, upper body pull. You're going to do some sort of explosive movement and some sort of rotational, anti-rotational, or carry. Now, some of those can be overlapped. If you're like, I don't want to do, you know, 7-8 exercises. Some of them can be like a kettlebell swing, for example, is a lower body pull, and it's also explosive. So you're going to start with that.
Perfect. Love
it. I like that to be the first movement. Yes. And you can do so many. You just listed pieces of equipment that you can do. You could do any of those things.
Oh, I got ropes too. I spotted some cheap ropes and I picked them up too. So,
Oh, did you? So we have ropes at Movement Minneapolis, and honestly, we don't pull them out super often. And because I was kind of the opinion, like, okay, you can't, it's purely conditioning. Right. You know, it's like get on the Airdyne or do battling ropes. And that's fantastic, right? Except that, yeah, you also with ropes, you usually, a gym will have like one set. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing a circuit, then in small groups, that doesn't always make sense to pull out the ropes.
Right.
But at the Women's Fitness Summit, which I just presented at, I think the weekend before Jill's thing, Ingrid Markham was there. Are you familiar with her?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I see her at every Perform Better.
Me too. And she's fantastic. And I've been sort of loosely, you know, connected with and following her for years, but she did a really great battling ropes presentation at Women's Fitness Summit. And I'm sort of, you know, re-inspired by them. And you should look her stuff up. It's, and I think she's under the umbrella of, who is it? John, I'm forgetting his last name right now.
I know.
Brookfield, right?
Yeah, I can see his face too.
Brookfield?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they're doing a lot of like really cool core exercises and shoulder stabilization exercises and thoracic movement exercises with battling ropes. And I was very impressed. And I would recommend checking that stuff out.
Okay, so what am I doing?
Can we get back to your circuit then?
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, guys, like, sorry, mm-hmm. folks at home, but, you know, I got to train today.
Well, I'll write you up an exact workout when the next time Jill talks. But you've got your categories. You've got your movement categories. You're going to pick one of each of those. It's okay if they overlap.
Okay.
You're pretty fit.
I am pretty fit.
I know. Exactly. You're ripped. You're ready to go.
I'm not ripped. I'm on the summer recovery program of like the watermelon ales and the trip to Germany where we went a little nuts.
Sure, sure. But by normal standards, and I'm using, you hear the air quotes around normal.
I got you.
You're shrimp. Yeah.
Right.
So you already know, and you have such a huge working knowledge base of exercise movements. You're going to pick your exact movements that you're going to do.
Okay.
And because you're so fit, we're going to use what Coach Dose calls negative rest.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, sorry, dude. You asked.
I'm going to do this. Now. I'm going to post this, and I'm going to do my social media thing too. I'm going to post about this on Instagram and Twitter and stuff and Facebook afterwards, and you're going to see my tired face.
So how many exercises do you think, like how much combining do you want to do for a total of, should we say four exercises?
Yeah.
Can you do enough combining that you're going to get down to four exercises?
Yeah.
Excellent. You're going to work for 30 seconds. You're going to rest for 20 seconds.
All right. That's not bad.
And it's not bad, except that you're going to do four rounds.
All right.
Maybe five. Can we see how you feel?
Shit. Well, it's not pushing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, well, let's just see. How about you have an optional gold star fifth round?
Let's say fifth bonus round. I got this. Okay, I'm writing it down.
I'm ready. I'm actually coming up with your workout now. So you guys talk amongst yourselves. You said we have a pull-up bar, right?
Yeah, I got a chin-up bar. I got valve slides. I got kettlebells up to 44.
Do you have a sandbag?
I don't have a sandbag.
Okay.
Josh, what's up, man? I got to get Josh on the show at some point. Maybe he'll hook me up with a sandbag, but I don't have one yet. We have one at the facility, though.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to talk to Jill then for a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Okay. See you later.
Hi.
Hey, Jill, what's up?
Hey. Nothing much. Just took a nap. I was fine. I was good.
Hey, did you get to see, I talked about this with Brian Patrick Murphy. I don't know if you guys know him from Mark Fisher Fitness. He's the man.
He's so great. Yes. I love him.
Okay. Yeah. He's the man. But we were talking about a great Rachel McAdams movie, About Time, on an Agenda Free segment that we lost in the recording. So I don't know if you've seen that, but you should.
No, I haven't. You know that we don't pay attention to pop culture. That's why we work so hard, because we don't really do anything else.
But I do keep up with the Kardashians. As I'm walking through the airport, I read the Kardashian headlines. That's what I'm up on.
Jen, how are they doing?
And you're...
Oh, they're kind of turning on Caitlyn right now. It sounds like they're... Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah, I mean they're being more supportive publicly than they are actually being in their relationships. It's really hurting Caitlyn.
Yeah,
Kylie may or may not be going to rehab. Kendall's a supermodel. Kim's pregnant again. Khloe has gotten a lot of lip injections. And Courtney is split from Scott Disick or Disick or however you say his last name.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the FitCast Kardashian update for this episode. I'm gonna throw it back to Jill, and I'm going to ask you about your 2020.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking about it. It was really fun. So it's the 20 by 20 challenge, and it was actually in August. Had over 3,000 women participate on Instagram. So wow. It was a huge success. Yeah, it was super awesome. Basically, the whole point of the program was to people to have a community where they had to check in daily with their workouts. It was 20 workouts throughout the month of August, each 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I've heard people say, well, I can't get to the gym because I have to be there for an hour. It takes me forever. I have to all this equipment. So all the workouts were dumbbell based. So a lot of people did them from home. Some of them were just body weight only. And the really cool thing is I asked people to share, you know me, like I need to hear like the whys behind stuff. So mm-hmm. people couldn't just be like workout number two. I had to say like, okay, what was the workout that you did? How did you feel during it? How did you feel accomplished? Do you feel like tired? Are you like motivated? Are you not motivated? So I asked them to give me a description in their Instagram post about how they're doing. And it was really cool. We had this very cool community of people who were cheering each other on. And then if they ended up doing all 20 workouts, which for, you know, for most women, for the average woman, getting in 20 workouts a week, I mean, I'm sorry, a month is pretty tough. You know, it's you know, people who are kind of hardcore exercisers are like, oh, that's 5 days a week, no big deal. But for the average person, you know, they're probably easily getting like 3 days in, maybe four. So five was a little bit of a jump for a lot of these women, mm-hmm. Including me, because, you know, you and I talked last time. I was kind of coming off 9 weeks in Europe.
Right.
I was getting ready to leave for Europe for 9 weeks. And I only exercised like a handful of times while I was over there, which was like so crazy. So it was actually selfishly for me to kind of get back in the rhythm and get back consistent. And I fell in love with exercise again in terms of like weight training and stuff. So it was really, really fun. And then the girls who finished all 20 workouts get thrown into a raffle for prizes. So we had a really great time. And then from there, it started my Total Training Experience program, which is a year-long program, began September 1st. So it was kind of like a ramp up for that. So yeah, people are still checking in on Instagram, which is awesome. The accountability is great. The workouts are short, totally doable. And a lot of girls are getting awesome results, not only physically, but for sure mentally too.
That is awesome. And speaking of 20 minute programs, hey, Jen.
Hey, how are you?
How are we doing? Am I going
to die? Well, you're ready to go. No, you might. All right, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to do five exercises. We're up from four.
Love it.
Yeah, I figured you would.
And people at home can play along.
Absolutely. Please do. 30-20, 4 to 5 rounds if you're feeling it.
Okay.
Exercise number one, alternating kettlebell swings.
Got it.
Okay. Pull-ups.
I'm sorry. My fault.
Yeah, you're working for 30 seconds.
Gotcha.
It's totally fine. Jumping pull-ups, which I don't. So here's the deal on jumping pull-ups.
Right.
Don't hold it at the top. Like these aren't the slow eccentric letdowns. This is you're going to set up a box. Actually, you're pretty tall, so that may not. You may not need the box, but you're set up.
Jill's making dinner.
I know. Jill, are you like having a drink?
I'm getting a glass of wine. Is that okay?
I knew it. I knew it was going to be wine. 100%.
Okay. Jumping pull-ups. How are we setting these up?
So you're getting underneath a pull-up bar. You're tall enough that you may need to, you may not need a box. If you do need a box, I want you to be able to stand under the pull-up bar with straight arms.
Got
with
it.
Your knees slightly bent.
Okay.
You're gonna jump to the top. Now, my best cue for this is you know where your face is, you know where the bar is.
Right.
So it's kind of a curve around the bar. You're jumping to the top of a pull-up, which means really it's a chest up or it's a throat to bar. Mm-hmm. And then you're aggressively, immediately pushing yourself away and around the bar so that you're again kind of curving down in a C shape into this like bent legs, straight arm position. Jilly, can you mute your mic?
Is it really loud? I was like kind of laughing just at myself.
No, it's so loud. You need to mute that shit.
Okay, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay. And then you are moving on Kevin to kettlebell rockers, which is this fantastic quad exploding exercise that I got from John Wolf. And if you don't know John Wolf, he's with Onnit now. If you Google kettlebell rockers and my name, I made a video demonstration for Lift Weights Faster. So there are some instructions on the video. I will say that in the video, I think it was toward the end of when we were filming, I didn't realize that my arms looked so bent. So when you see the video, just keep in mind it's more of a straight arm exercise.
Okay.
Then it looks, sorry about that. I'm not sure if John has a video on it as well. Anyway, kettlebell rockers. It's a double kettlebell exercise, and it looks kind of easy, and you're going to be like, okay, no big deal.
Okay.
It's your leg. This is the one that's going to make your legs fall off. This is the problem.
Beautiful.
Okay. You're moving on to Valslide pikes.
Okay.
Nice and slow. I don't care how many reps you do. Just make that quality. And then last but not least, you're doing rotational rows with a TRX, which is one of my favorite exercises that I have learned from Coach Dose. Have you seen those? Like combine the hand. Yeah, I figured as much. But for those who don't know, combine the handles. You're in a row position. So you're leaning back about 45 degrees. Instead of a straight up row, though, you're going to hold both handles in both hands together. I should say, put the handles together or loop one through so that you're only holding on to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to row the TRX up, row the handles up toward you, and at the same time rotate your torso, rotating through your rib cage until the handle is down at the bottom of your rib cage, and then back to starting position and alternate sides.
Oh, man, these kettlebell rockers look like they're going to burn.
Did you Google it? They're going to burn. But look, I gave you a little bit of a break with rotational rows, and the Valslide pikes should burn in a totally different way.
I'm just going to have
might get some quad activity on the Valslide pikes too.
Yeah. I'm going to set up like a Skype call with 911 and just like leave my laptop open just in case. And, no, this is actually, yeah. Okay.
I want you to film this workout because I would love to post this workout. I'll repost if you post this workout. Like, I made you do this in the middle of a podcast. It's pretty fun for me.
Okay, this might be hard for me to film because the way that I have my house gym set up, I'll have to, like, walk around my house while I'm doing it.
Oh, that's okay.
Which sounds weird.
It would take the video with you.
All right.
It's portable. We're talking about a phone. So
all right, I'll see what we can do.
Oh my God, I'm super excited. Make sure the lighting is good. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, Steven.
That's right. Spielberg, yes.
Yep, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's Jill, how's the wine today?
It's good. Yeah, I was trying to clean up the kitchen a little bit, but it was too loud. Sorry.
Jeez. Man.
I'm in a cabin.
If you're going to be up in Maine for a couple days, do you have any workouts planned, or are you going to do like a 20-minute workout, or are you going to go to a gym? What are you going to do?
Yeah. You know what? If I was with Jen Sinclair, she would have already told us what gyms we're going to. But because she's not here, I'm going to do it myself. No, I brought workout clothes, which is good for me. So Jen knows that the last couple of years, I've just been not super excited about exercise, just kind of disenchanted by it.
Mm-hmm.
After so many years of it feeling like a job when I was competing,
right.
And doing very kind of traditional bodybuilding, and I was just getting burned out on it. I was getting it in, but I wasn't really excited about it. And only in the last, probably I would say 9 months, I started getting more excited about exercise and actually bringing as clothes when I travel, which I hadn't done in a couple of years. So, I'm probably gonna do something in the room. There's some space outside. I mean, there's definitely plenty of options, body weight type stuff. I might try and find a track and do some sprints or like a long, you know, maybe a field or something like that. But I'm definitely gonna get in a couple of workouts while I'm here. I went to CrossFit this morning in my hometown. So that was fun.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw this off to both you guys, but obviously with the Women's Fitness Summit, this is going to bring me into a question that I want to ask. And obviously I'm a dude. So, I guess my question is, do you sometimes do guys feel like put off sometimes when it comes to your content because they feel like they might be excluded in terms of feeling like, you know, the Women's Fitness Summit, no dudes allowed? even though they want to see that content, like maybe sometimes they'll get to see it somewhere else. But I was just kind of worrying if you guys have ever thought about this. And Jen, I'll throw it off to you first.
If I feel guilty that men can't come to the Women's Fitness Summit, is that what you're asking? I honestly don't feel guilty because, and here's why. It's not that I want to hoard content. And a lot of that, you know, makes its way out of the Women's Fitness Summit.
Here's a better way to put this. Okay, I'm a guy that trains women, and I would love that information.
Yeah. And I will say, take heart, like most of what we're talking about, like we've got the recaps, we've got, you know, blog posts and the experts who are presenting, like I'm thinking about like Susan Kleiner and the role of carbs in training sessions. You know, she's written about that in a number of places, so that there are other places you can find that. Now, here's why I don't feel guilty. This is our own, we have not historically had a huge voice in the fitness industry. We haven't. If you look at the presenters in any given fitness event, if it's co-ed, what, like 80% of them, 90% of them are going to be men?
Yeah, like 90%, and
yeah, it is. It's a huge number. And so I don't feel guilty about carving out our own space and being like, okay, if we're not going to participate, if we aren't able to participate in the system as it is, on an equal level, like it's okay to build your own system. Like, all right, we're gonna get the word out. We're gonna do this on our own, rather than asking for help. And that's not to say that I don't think that women should absolutely be hugely more represented in at co-ed events.
Agreed.
But I think that there's absolutely nothing wrong with essentially carving out your own place if it doesn't already exist. And the reality is, it kind of doesn't right now.
Yeah, Jill, anything on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, the Women's Fitness Summit was great. It was my first time there, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can more speak to my brand, and I know that Jen's brand is this way too. Both of us have male readers, but they just don't have they're just not a huge portion of who we really talk to. So a lot of what I talk about is, you know, women this, women that, you know, like ladies or things like that. And so I usually address my crew as women, even though probably 90 to 95% are women. There's that little small percentage of men, and they always say, you know, I've heard, not always, but a few people have said, you know, you do have men that read this too. And I understand that, and I'm sensitive to that. Except for that, the one thing is that when I'm trying to connect with women, I connect with them much stronger when I speak directly to them than when I'm like, "Hey, everybody," and it's 90% women. You know what I mean? It kind of feels a little polarizing to women because they're like, "Oh, they just." It's not, to me historically, it hasn't been as safe for women to feel like they can open up more. And I know Jen has a really strong community, and I do too, of people who get in discussion. We have very like active communities, Facebook and Instagram and stuff, people like commenting and stuff. And if it was like more co-ed, I know for me that women just wouldn't be as vocal, and I won't. So that's kind of why I know that men read my stuff and can get benefit from it, but I don't really address them. Not because I don't like men. I just know that it's much stronger when I address women specifically.
No, for sure.
Mine's a little different.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because actually my readership, at least the last time I looked, and it wasn't terribly recently, I think my readership of my blog was about 50-50, actually. Like I've got a lot of men in my audience, and that's a lot of my content is absolutely not specific to women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my language isn't specific to women. It's just that the posts that have resonated most strongly have been about women's issues with regard to fitness. I'm thinking about, for example, Unapologetically Strong, which is about, I'm about to rebrand from jensinkler.com to and Thrive to unapologeticallystrong.com. Like that's going to be my new home because that message has resonated so strongly. And it's what feels like my mantra. It's like, that's the drum I'm beating to. And a lot of that has to do with issues that women face regarding fitness that men just haven't. They, you know, like you don't get – you when you're growing up, like nobody told you, you better not lift weights. You might look bulky. Ew.
Right.
You know, like, you like men just don't historically run into the same objections. And I love that those objections are getting toppled. And I think that they're getting toppled faster all the time. But the reality is they still do exist, and we can become more powerful – if we band together and are able to like talk through this stuff and then present our messages in a more unified front, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Absolutely does.
And I'll pile on with that. I think on the other end too, I would see, I know Jen, you probably feel the same way. I would like to see more men coming out and talking about things like mindset and talking about more like, like emotional like stuff around like eating or how they feel about their bodies, or cause I know that stuff is kind of going on, but it's kind of been a little bit, like downplayed as not as important as like sets and reps and macros and like just this more sciencey type stuff and numbers. But I do hear from men weekly who are like, you know, I really would love to do your mindset course, or I'd really love to really get so much from your blog when you're talking about, you know, like body and how you view yourself and, you know, all that kind of stuff too. So I would love to see some men, and I think there probably are some who are doing really good work and maybe just making that a little bit more acceptable to talk about too.
That's really fascinating that you say that, because I think as I've gotten older, and I don't know if that's just like the evolution of, men in this industry, but I really do get put off by just like the like super overly testosterone, you know, personalities or you know, articles and videos and stuff like that these days from people who obviously I respect their content. They got good stuff, but it's just kind of like, dude, I don't feel like I need to deadlift 500 pounds to be successful in the weight room. I'm okay. And yeah. Like when you keep saying that, it just makes me want to, you know, just tone you out completely.
Yep. But I agree that hyper bro stuff. I mean, obviously I'm not the target market. It's just, that's not for me.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys feel like you almost need to be different than the complete opposite end of the spectrum? Like, not to name names, but, you know, there's definitely still some personalities out there that are, their audience are females, and they are potentially putting out information that is still saying, like, maybe you want to avoid, you know, lifting heavy because you will be putting on unwanted muscle and things like that. I don't know if you have anything to say on that, Jen.
I think that playing your game based off of what other people are or are not saying is kind of dangerous territory. Mm-hmm. So I never do intentionally do anything that is the opposite of that. Like, oh, I need to respond to that. Unless something, and that's not to say something that can't fire me up and I want to write a post about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm never going to try to be anything, try to be the opposite of I'm going to get my message out as clearly, concisely, and often as I possibly can. And sometimes that's going to be in response to what somebody else is doing in the form of a position piece. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it just doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. That's when you're always following, like you're reactive. If you're constantly waiting for somebody else to put out content and then taking a position for or against it. Like, it's just like you got to be a little more independent thinker.
Jill, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would also say, and I love, you know, I do want to remember and to pile on to what Jen said, is that, I believe that every woman or man has the right to train exactly the way they want to. So if a woman is like, you know what, I don't want to weight train because I don't want to get bigger. I don't want to get more muscular. I don't want to get like, fine, like totally fine. You know what I mean? But I think to Jen's point, it's been so much of that a lot of women who do love to train, do love to lift heavy, do love to have muscles on their body. Like, I think that needs to be, they need to come out a little bit stronger and unapologetic about that. Cause I think it's been way more the other way. So the idea, so I think, you know, it's a mistake to also be like, women need to not be scared of muscles, because some of women just don't want them, you know? So, and I think that's fine too. And everyone has a right to train for the body that they really want and not be scared of what someone's going to say or what they're going to do. But I completely agree with Jen in terms of being on the offensive and like living life on offense, then waiting to be reactive and defensive for sure.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to get to listen to some music if you're listening to the show and hear me talk about some stuff. And we will be right back with more awesome stuff from Jen and Jill. Stick around. Thank you so much for listening to the FitCast. I hope you enjoy the show enough to go to patreon.com/thefitcast. That's patreon.com/thefitcast. There you can help support the show starting at just $1 per episode, and it really helps make sure that I can produce these episodes every single week. So again, if you want to help with the production and give back to the show, please go to patreon.com/thefitcast. Thanks, and let's get back to the show. So now that I have a caffeinated beverage getting ready for this circuit that Jen is going to have me go do, some more questions popped into my mind. And like, these are some questions that I like to throw to our guests, especially like you guys. Like, you guys are super, super driven. You are after it. You're doing stuff. Like, your schedules are full. And sometimes I just like to see, like, what the hell is fueling you guys? Jill, what's driving you to do all this stuff? What do you do on those days where you wake up and be like, yeah, I don't feel like writing that blog post today or something like that. I don't feel like getting that email out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that we all have days where you don't want to do that. So like, the idea that like every day is like, I'm perfectly motivated is just false. But I think we've talked to this before, Kevin, and Jen can attest to this because she kind of works very similar, a little bit different, but I kind of oscillate my energy. So I'm very directed my energy, but you know, when you, like, we laugh kind of about me not knowing what's going on in pop culture or movies, but that's actually like the truth of it, is that my focus is very directed on in the places that I'm excited about. So over the last couple of years, I've just kind of phased out. I mean, I don't cook my meals, right? Like, I don't clean my house. I like outsource a lot of that stuff. I do shortcuts because I do want to have the mental space and time available to focus on the things I love, which is creating in my brand. So number one is, I'm not a mom, right? So people, I think, or if they're listening, if you have a family or you're working a full-time job or, you know, you're doing something outside the fitness center, you have to throw yourself a bone. You have to be gentle with yourself because, like, you know, this is kind of all I do. So remember that if you're doing a million other things, then you're going to have to kind of balance that stuff. First thing. And number two is something else that has only gotten better over the last couple of years. And that's, I felt more freedom to talk about what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel as restricted as I used to, because my business is still Jill Fit, but it used to be Jill Fit Physiques. And I used to talk about competition prep, and I used to talk about fat loss. And I started to feel out of my integrity with that stuff because it just wasn't what I was excited about. I actually felt like I was doing people a disservice. I started feeling like making people more neurotic. Mm-hmm. So what I started doing was just waking up and started talking about personal development, started talking about mindset, started talking about, you know, food obsession, started talking about business even. Like, anything that I was excited about, I started writing on. Mm-hmm. And Jen will attest to this too. Your audience will come with you if you make it feel, you know, like related. You know what I mean? So if we talk about personal development, it's very easy to see into fitness business, right? It's kind of like you're reading all the same books. And so they end up coming with you and kind of being along for the ride, which is amazing. I'm so grateful for that. So number one is you have to write what you are excited about. And if you're not excited about it, then move into a space that you are excited about and don't be apologetic about that. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just getting focused, kind of outsourcing things that are not a priority or I don't want to spend my time doing, getting hyper-focused on the things that I really want to do. And the second thing is, and this is a practice of mine, I go to work every day. Like, for me, that's just, I'm kind of like a workhorse in that way. So on those days where I don't feel motivated, I do sit down and I do something. So I do kind of focus, and I know a lot of people feel differently about this, but I'm a huge fan of just like, you have to actually work every day.
Right.
And the more you do it, the better you get at it. So it's not like drudgery anymore. You have to fall in love with the process of it. You can't be like, oh, I have to do this stuff, and you just keep looking for the outcome. You can't be like, oh, I have to do this stuff so I can make money online. It can't be about that. It has to be like, how do I fall in love with every single day getting up and creating something that I love? Like, that's, you have to just be like, all right, what do I do today? So I sit my ass in the chair and I write something and I press publish as many times as possible. And the more I do it, the easier it becomes and the more I like it. So there is that kind of like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you wait to be inspired, or do you do it more and becomes more inspiring to you? Hmm. And I'm kind of in that second camp.
Jen, how about for you?
Well, I will say that it is a thing of beauty to watch Jill work, because she she's like Eric Cressy, Dean Somerset level productive. This is like, is prolific and it's amazing. And she's so like what, and here's why she's so good at it is she does exactly what the task she said she was going to get up and do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've got to, you know, make this video. I've got to write this email. I'm going to write a blog post. And X number of minutes later, it's done because she didn't do that thing where she dicks around on Facebook first and like does anything else first. And that's like she said, like that's something she's practiced. Like mm-hmm. she's going to sit down and do it. I will be honest. I'm probably closer to the work when inspired right. camp. I work at a slower pace than Jill does. And that's okay with me because that's what I need to do. Like I'm like her, message focused, like what's inspired. Like you've got to find a message that you're inspired to talk about. But I find that if I don't give myself enough space, inspiration just doesn't come. And I feel awful when I like just sit down and do it, you know, like make yourself do it. Like forcing inspiration for me is really tough and it doesn't become more inspiring as I go. So I'm glad we have both of these points of view represented here because either one is okay depending on what works for that person. I have this at my ass in the chair when it comes to social media and sharing other people's content and even like maybe reposting stuff that I've written before. But when it comes to blog posts, especially the position paper kind of thing and emails, like I'm more inconsistent. And a lot of that, it's funny that we're talking about this because I've realized I need to not try to do everything. And I've been trying to do like, interviews and freelance writing and coaching at the gym and running my own website and in the middle of a website redesign and then traveling to speak at engagements. And it's a little too much, honestly. And what's been suffering is the one thing that I really want to do more than anything else. And that's write for my own website. Mm-hmm. So I've just very recently been like, all right, I'm going to winnow a bunch of these projects down and get a little more organized when it comes to how to move forward. And one of those things that I want to do personally is rebrand as Unapologetically Strong. So I'm able to offer programs from amazing coaches who don't necessarily have an online presence of their own. Mm-hmm. Like I've got a lot of friends who are women who are strength and conditioning coaches for different colleges. And they are, you know, like they're the best coaches I know. And they're not an online brand though. And yet I want their information. Like I've worked with them many times over the years. They've worked with the USA rugby team. They've worked with a bunch of elite level athletes at the collegiate level. Like I want to share their knowledge with the audience that I've built over the years. Like that platform is really good for reaching people who crave information about how to get stronger in a really smart way. So I want to rebrand as Unapologetically Strong so I can pull in more coaches so that they can do what they're very good at with a platform that they don't have access to. And number two, I want to write for my website. The reason I left Experience Life, it's been almost 3 years ago now, like 2.5 years. The reason I left was because I wanted to make my website a playground for strength, like for any, for a bunch of different ways in, like kettlebells, like Olympic lifting, like powerlifting, like bodyweight training. I wanted to talk about all of those methodologies. And I want people to come to my website because they're like, you know what? I really want a program for, you know, learning how to, you know, like get ready for my very first powerlifting meet. And that's actually the first program I'm going to lead with that is another coach's on my website. And that is my training partner and the woman who did my programming for 3 of my 4 powerlifting meets the last year and a half. It's JVB. And so we're leading with Unapologetically Powerful. I think it's going to be beginning of November. By the time we get everything ready, we've been filming like crazy and writing like crazy and polishing up, you know, the user manual and the how-to. The programming's already been done for months and we've got people going through beta. But I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about that project and I'm excited about writing more for my website and doing less freelance writing. And I've booked, like there's a travel, you know, moratorium starting after I booked everything out through November. And then, you know, it just gets quiet after that. And that's the way I want it. Like I want to kind of hole up, do some writing on the days that I said we're going to be writing days. I want to coach at the gym and I want to make my website amazing.
So
So that was a really long-winded way of saying, like, it's a process for me, mm-hmm. how to get more, we'll say, quote unquote, productive, even if that doesn't look like how productive looks for other people, like Jill.
Well, let's wrap up with this for productivity to, I said that weird, productivity to consistency. And I like to talk to as many smart people as I can about this because it seems like this is still something that everyone is disagreeing about and everyone is still saying something a little different. So maybe it is just a case of people out there who are listening finding the right thing that makes sense for them psychologically or in terms of their schedule and things like that. But Jill, I'll throw it off to you first. For people that are just still struggling to find consistency, whether it be in their training or nutrition, I think you brought it up before the 20 by 20. But what should people be doing to help stay more consistent to make sure that once they have that goal set in place, they are staying on the path, or at least a path, whether even if it's not a straight one, to get to where they want to go?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I think it's probably a little bit different, but I'm a huge fan of, like, here's something that I think we don't consider, especially for people who are fitness enthusiasts or people who are in the industry or they're at the upper echelon of consumers, like in terms of information. We like information. So mm-hmm. when you get a taste of nutrition information or exercise information, you tend to want to get more of it, right? You go, oh, I can eat this. I can change my body even more. I can do these workouts, these exercises. I can change my body even more, and it kind of gets addicting. So we go around, and what happens, we all do this, and we end up in this place where we love getting new information. We read blogs, we listen to Fitcast, we read books, we study for, we get more credentials, we learn all this stuff, and it's really fascinating, except that at some point we have so much stuff that we don't know what to implement, and we get scared of doing anything. That's at least my experience. So one thing to remember is that you have to prioritize we'll just take nutrition, for example. You have to kind of prioritize your nutrition choices. Not all nutrition choices have the same impact in terms of results. So for example, spending a lot of mental energy on how many ounces of water you're getting in is very different than spending mental energy on making sure you get enough protein, right? So water is important, but I would say in terms of long-term effects, probably focusing more on protein is important. They're not the same in terms of how your body is going to look, mm-hmm. if that's what your goal is, right? So we can talk about different goals and things like that. But I tend to work with women who want fat loss or want muscle gain or whatever. So in terms of that, think about, and it's just what you said, which is people are different. So they are going to have to figure out what works with their unique metabolism, what works with their unique psychology, with their personal preferences. But I like to limit it to three things. And I actually call these DNCs, or daily nutritional commitments. Mm-hmm. So everybody, I encourage my girls to come up with three DNCs, things that they do every single day, that when they do them consistently, it takes off about 80% of, kind of like the troubleshooting for the day. It takes care of like 80% of their day. They know that when they do their DNCs consistently, they don't really have to worry too much about messing up, because they do things that are easy for them to implement, things that are effective for them and their goals, and things that are enjoyable for them. So there's about 20% left that they have like wiggle room, like maybe at nighttime eating they have to navigate, maybe that afternoon crash they have to navigate. Mm. But for the most part, when they're doing their DNCs consistently, they're making strides and they're staying on track. So for example, my DNCs is have protein in each meal. I know that that's important. It's going to be specific for each person. Number two, I have a huge salad every single day. I have a huge salad every single day because I know if I get no other vegetables, I'm at least going to be getting 5 or 6 servings of vegetables. And then my third is that I always have protein bars with me. So if I do tend to have a craving or a sweet craving, I can always have that and I know it's always there. So those are my three things. And I know when I do them every day, there's very little wiggle room for messing up. So I don't worry about water. I don't worry about, am I going to have organic or not? I don't really worry about, does this have artificial or natural sweeteners? Does that stuff matter? Maybe, but I think that we tend to overemphasize how important those things are. And then all of a sudden we have a million things that seem super important and we're not doing any of them. So that's kind of where I go. We can talk exercise too, but maybe Jen can shed some light on that.
That's a hell of a, reply to follow up on, Jen, but
I was just going to say, I told you she's the systems and framework person. Like, that is the person I look to for systems and frameworks. It's amazing. I love it. It's like a superpower. She says it. Like, you figure out what your priorities are, and you make sure that your actions are lined up with what you say you want to do.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to be in the next Avengers movie, I hope. The superhero with a systemized superpower. But
yep,
we'll see.
Exactly.
Let's see.
I mean, I think you could do the same thing with exercise, right? Like, what's the minimum effective dose of exercise that you need, right? Like, you probably get the same results if you do 30 minutes of intense exercise versus 2 hours of, like, jogging, right? So, like, it's about finding that sweet spot. And that takes some time and some patience. And I think that's hard for the average person to take that time to figure out what that is for them. And so I think it's just about getting, you know, I mean, it's like super cliche, but work smarter, not harder in all of the things. And then you'll find that the more consistent you are, the closer to perfect you end up getting with your eating exercise, the more consistent you are. So don't straight out of the gate be like, I need to be perfect. Instead, just consistent with a couple things that move the dial. And as for the rest, like I say, as for the rest, do your best. Don't worry about it.
Elaine Bennis, also big fan of the Big Salad. So,
oh, yes, I sent Jill that meme and I made her post it on Instagram.
I know, I want a salad, but big.
Yeah.
Bigger. That's a big salad.
Who gets credit for it?
Oh, I think we have to wrap things up. We're up against the clock, and God damn, this has been a hell of a show. But
I love it.
But before we do wrap up with things, I need to talk to you guys about what you have coming up, because, you know, this shouldn't be the last time that people hear from you. You guys have awesome stuff going on that people should check out and perhaps even attend live in person. Don't go up to Kennebunkport. I don't think Jill will still be there, but it's still a great vacation spot before it gets too cold. So, Jill, what do you have coming up? I know you have another Radiance retreat that you just got to the registration open for that.
Yeah. So Jen and I and Nagar Fanuni put on an annual event called the Radiance Retreat, and we've done it in California a couple times, and we've done it in North Carolina. And we're super excited because we just launched 20 pre-registration spots for Sydney, Australia in February. And it's open this week only. Well, I guess we'll be probably over time, but it's still going to be available when this podcast runs. It's just not going to be at the discounted rate, unfortunately, but we are capping it at 30 women, and we already have 5 or 6 signed up. So just within the last day. So wow. We're super excited about that. And nice. It's going to be 3 days of fitness and mindset, nutrition, you know, socializing, all that fun stuff in Bondi Beach.
Very, very yes. Cool. I got that reminds me, I got to get in touch with Nagar to get her back on the show. I haven't talked to her in a while. Jen, how about yourself? I mean, you're actually not in an airplane right now, which is really cool.
I'm not in an airplane. It's the coolest.
What are you doing?
Well, so I'm taking this weekend off. It's going to be awesome. And then David and I are going to teach a kettlebell seminar the first weekend in October. It's October 3rd in Denver. And I think we do have like maybe 2 spots left if anybody wants to come to that.
What day is it?
So Denver, first week in October. It's the 3rd.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about doing that, but I'm going to be in at Drive 495 in New York on the 3rd.
Oh, I've been wanting to go there. I met a trainer, Ashley Kast, when I was at a yoga event not too long ago.
Yeah, she's going to be at we're doing a certification event that day she's going to be doing.
Oh, good. That's great.
Hi, Ashley, if you listen to the show.
Yeah. Hey, girl. I like your pictures lately. Then Austin for it's called I Am Power. My friend Aaron Brown it's a women's retreat. Mm-hmm. It's focused on like mindset and also self-defense. And like, there's going to be a lot of self-defense skills being learned that weekend. So I'm super excited about that. I know yoga, mindset, body image and self-defense. Like I'm pretty excited about all of that. Feelings. That's my new thing. Like to learn about.
Nice. That's badass.
Yeah. Right. After that, I'm going to Houston for Halloween because David and I are presenting on intuitive training at the SES, which is the Sea Earth Space event that they're having there. And so it's very odd. It sounds like NASA's involved, scuba divers and fitness people. So that's
That's rad.
The range. I know, right? I'm excited. And I'm going to dress up in a costume when I present. That's not true. That part's not true.
Why not?
I don't know.
We're doing.
I guess I could.
I'm telling you.
Like, I did just buy a fox mask. I should go as a fox.
You should. Kev Carr and I, we're going out to Chicago. We're doing a cert on Halloween. And we are, you bet your ass, we are wearing costumes for that thing.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. So okay. You might have inspired me.
Yeah,
let me think
it.
About that. And then Toronto, November, I think it's 20th through the 22nd. It's called Train Smarter. Mm-hmm. That's the event name. And a whole lot of presenters will be there. So I'm excited about going back to Toronto. I haven't been there for a couple of years.
Yeah. It's cold, right?
It's cold. It's cold. It was like the exact time of year I was there the last time. And it was cold. So damn it. I don't know why I planned for the same time. Then it's the break. Although David and I might run away to Italy. So I guess that's not much of a travel break, but still.
You actually might come to Los Angeles though, too.
I might. I really need to go visit Jill and Negar. So that is happening sometime. So this travel break, I'm using the term break pretty loosely, it turns out.
Got it. Okay.
But still, that's where I'll be. And we're launching Unapologetically Powerful at the beginning of November. And I'm very excited about that. So we'll sort of be doing that in the middle of everything else.
Awesome.
Should be great.
Maybe we'll chat about that later.
Yeah, it's going to be for brand new powerlifters. Because what we noticed was that there was nobody sort of holding, like really focusing on the beginners only. Like, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to bring to the meet. You know, here's, mm-hmm. here's how the event goes. Like, here's like every play a step by step for here's why you might be interested in learning how to powerlift and competing eventually. So I'm really super excited about that.
Do I need to bring smelling salts?
Yeah, exactly. Not really. No, probably not necessary.
Not for the first one.
Although it's pretty fun to watch everybody smack each other around backstage. I mean, I'm kind of into it.
That sounds like a blast. All right. Well, that is probably going to do it for this show. But again, like I said, this should not be the last that you hear from Jill and Jen. In the meantime, you can go to jillfit.com to see what Jill is up to, or jensinkler.com to see what Jen's up to, and also at jillfit and at jensinkler on the social media stuff. And you guys are on Facebook. You're doing all the cool stuff these days. So there's lots of places for people to find out what you do have coming up if new things do arise between now and when people listen to this. So seriously, thank you so much to you guys for coming on. This has been an absolute blast. I got a training session lined up for today. And, you know, there's so many things that I now have. I literally actually wrote down. I have three large post-it notes, the ones with the lines on them, not just like the regular size, like three of the regular ones from just this show. So some great stuff from you guys. But first off, yeah, Jill, thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Yeah, thanks so much for letting me talk about stuff that I love to talk about. So I could do this all day long. Thank you.
And Jen, yeah, kind of thank you for the workout. We'll see.
Huge thank you.
Yeah, huge thank you. Yeah, don't worry. Well, I got this can of caffeinated liquid that is working its way into my body. It's going to be a huge help.
Amazing. And I just have to say thank you so much. This is one of my favorite shows to come on. And I, you know, I'm a mega fan of yours and a Patreon supporter, right? That's how you say that?
That is right. Mm-hmm. Thank you to you and all the rest of the Patreon supporters that are setting aside some cash to help make sure that this show continues to get produced and I can do cool episodes like this. But our time is up. I know Jill has stuff to do. Jen, you got stuff to do. I got to go lift. So we are going to wrap it up here. And for everyone else, don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes if you enjoy it. I'd love if you submit a review on there if it's positive. And you can find myself on Twitter at Kevin Larrabee and at FitCast if you want to follow me on there. And I actually do Instagram stuff now, which
I was going to say. I saw you dipping your toes in Instagram. Good job.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it took a while, but I'm eventually.
It's kind of non-negotiable at this point, actually.
You're totally right, but I will warn you, people, if you do follow me, you might get some video game stuff or some Fast and the Furious stuff, or next month is the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future, so that I'm super hyped. Pick up the USA Today on October, I guess it is 20th. It's going to be the same one that he picked up in the future. So, all right, guys. Well,
thank you. Oh, my God. That's cool. Okay.
So much. All right. You guys got to go. I got to go. All right. We're going to wrap it up there. We'll see everyone else next time. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.